Heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world. This is the Best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you to not only defend the historic Christian faith, but become an apprentice of Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. It's always great to be in studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada, questions coming in from around the world. As always, the number to dial to get your questions answered live, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. You can contact us on the web at equip.org or write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, our resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. Before I came into the studio, I was reading a blog from a blogger named Matt Walsh. And Matt is evidently trying to make Christianity cool, sell millennials on God. And Matt is talking about a pastor. Matt's not trying to make Christianity cool. It's this pastor he's talking about, Rich Wilkerson, who is cavorting on a beach, as Matt points out, with his scantily clad wife shouting self-help cliches, like nothing will be impossible. We're going to do life together. All of this to a posh pit of cheering fans. This isn't a rock festival. It's a congregation of cheering Christian disciples from his church. They are really exciting people. They're cheering as he reveals his insightful pastoral motto. I don't think people are interested in a bunch of religion, he says. Like, yo, tell me, what can I and what can't I do? But I think people are interested in a relationship with a higher power. He goes on to explain that the gospel does not demand behavioral modification because, yo, we shouldn't have to, like, modify our behavior, like, or, like, you know, do stuff. Just remember that old Christian saying, yo, do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. I mean, here's a guy, a Christian pastor, who is sharing the Wiccan Reed under the guise of Christianity. And what all of this is nothing short of the wholesale transformation of American Christianity. It's the fresh new face of a baptized humanistic psychology. It's a new Babel. And truly the word Babel fits. Reaching to the heavens all the while promising your best life now. In short, it's Joel Osteen all over again. It's a new brand of Christianity perfectly suited for a feel-good generation. And by the way, I mentioned Joel Osteen in this context because he has lots of imitators, but he is the biggest of the bunch. 1 billion impressions per month on Facebook and Twitter. He's the personification of God talk in America. But behind all these self-affirmations, I am prosperous. My God is a supersizing God. You've heard many others, no doubt. Behind all of those affirmations, there's a darker hue. Behind the smile, a robust emphasis on that which is, believe it or not, negative. Because if you're healthy and prosperous, well, words created your reality. But on the other side of the coin, if your baby dies or your spouse contracts cancer, you're the prime suspect. Because as these prosperity preachers are communicating, the moment you speak something out, you give birth to it. And that's a spiritual principle, and it works whether what you're saying is good or bad, positive or negative. Bottom line, the gospel is being perverted in pulpits throughout the land. So on the one hand, we can curse the darkness. But on the other hand, we had better build a lighthouse in the midst of the gathering storm. I want to take just a few moments to talk to you from my heart, because this has been an extraordinary year. 2015 has brought with it unimaginable consequences. You think of the terrorism in Paris and San Bernardino, but that is just the tip of an insidious iceberg. You think about a Wheaton College professor who is saying that Christianity and Islam holds to the same God, saying that Islam is a religion of peace and tolerance. This is no longer just a secular platitude. It is a platitude from a professor in a Christian university. A professor who is getting her encouragement and asking a blessing from CARE, an organization with ties to terrorism, an organization with ties to countries that subjugate women. 2015 not only brought with it terrorism, but the highest court in the land has redefined marriage. And imagine this, three Protestant denominations celebrate the decision. And then you have a mega church pastor, Ryan Meeks, who likens himself, well, here's what he said. He likens his LGBT inclusivity to the courage of the men who died in the Normandy invasion. This, of course, is cultural capitulation. It's not courage. All he's doing is being politically correct. And then you have transgenderism. It made its mark in 2015 like never before. Bruce Jenner, once considered the greatest male athlete in America, 2015, he's posing in sexy lingerie on the cover of Vanity Fair. And then he receives the Arthur Ashe Courage Awards at the ESPYs. And USA Today says that Bruce Jenner inspires U.S. team. This is a blazing cover story. Socially conscious women applaud his courageous stand, the article goes on to say. In the area of reproduction, we have Planned Parenthood videos demonstrating that the sale of baby parts is now big business in America. Who would have thought? And this year, 1 million abortions. And if you extrapolate this over time, since 1973, Roe v. Wade, 50 to 60. Stop for a moment and ponder that number. 50 to 60 million pre-born children, their lives expunged. 2015 also brought the prophets out. Popular were the four blood moons, April 2014 to September 2015, a seminal period of time, say the prophets, between those two date parameters. The prophets told us that something was going to happen that had apocalyptic significance with respect to Israel. I suppose that would mean an asteroid hitting the earth or a nuclear attack. Well, nothing happened, demonstrating once again that the prophets today, unlike biblical prophets, are 100% wrong 100% of the time. We have overwhelming challenges, there is no doubt. And we are facing those challenges day by day at the Christian Research Institute. And we're standing for truth no matter what the cost. And I can tell you, the cost in 2015 to this organization has been great. But with overwhelming challenges come overwhelming opportunities. You think about what's happened in terms of technology, social media. It's incredible what God has laid before us as opportunities. I think about the fact that you have made those opportunities possible. Many of you listening to me right now have made those opportunities not just a dream, but an actual reality. And I'll tell you, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. We could not do what we do without you. I also want to challenge those who have not given to do so, to, again, stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. That's not a cliche. This is about truth. Truth matters. It's about life. Life matters. In fact, we might well say life matters more. On the one hand, a menu matters, but the meal matters more. We're talking about truth, but we're also talking about how you can experience the living, resurrected Christ. You know, human kingdoms, they come and go. But the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ will last forever. Never forget that scared, scattered disciples turned an empire upside down. They faced the tyrant's brandished steel, the lion's gory mane, the fires of 1,000 deaths. They were transformed by the resurrection. They made a difference in their epoch of time, and we can as well. I invite you to stand with us shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. You can write me at P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or you can support us on the web, equip.org/donate. You can also talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000, CRI. I want to share with you just a couple of testimonies as well. Scott, he writes, "Hi, Hank, a word of thanks and encouragement. I started listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast as an atheist. I was just being curious. Your explanation of the nature of God changed my thinking. I bought a Bible. I started reading it. I continued listening." Here's another testimony from Mike. "I was saddened to hear that the Christian Research Institute paid a significant price in terms of reduced contributions as a result of your month-long focus on homosexuality. My wife and I have had the privilege of being monthly supporters for many years, but this month we are doubling our regular monthly giving to help make up for someone that may have decided to withhold their contributions. Please continue to speak because the church needs to be emboldened to do likewise. I pray that we, like King Josiah, will rediscover the Word of God, will humbly seek Him with our whole heart and tear down all the idols, the false gods that we have worshipped in the past. Yours in Christ, Michael. One more from New Zealand. Thank you. I appreciate you and your ministry so much. Keep up the good fight. You're making a difference. My thoughts and prayers are with you. The Lord bless your family, your ministry in awesome ways. Have a blessed 2015, on to 2016 and more. We get letters like this from India, from Japan, from Canada, from Latin America, from the Middle East, from China. We ask you to join a host of others from around the world standing shoulder to shoulder with this ministry in the battle for life and truth. Again, P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. We'll be right back with more.
Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute and host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, is passionately focused on the ABCs. That's apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering cults, including world religions like Islam. Make no mistake, there is a rising tide of militant secularism and anti-Christian thinking. Christians worldwide need to be equipped with ABC resources. To stand shoulder to shoulder with Hank Hanegraaff and CRI in equipping Christians worldwide with vital ABC resources, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will return right after the break. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go, on your phone or handheld device, with the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for Apple as well as Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also listen to 3-minute Ask Hank features and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org and download the Equip app for your phone or handheld device today. Again, that's equip.org. The Equip app is compatible with iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android devices. Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute are passionately focused on the ABCs. That's apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering cults, including world religions such as Islam. Make no mistake, there is a rising tide of militant secularism and anti-Christian thinking. Christians worldwide need to be equipped with ABC resources, for if we lose the war on these fronts, our children and grandchildren could inherit the horrors of history that are the absolute antithesis of the meaning of this Christmas season. Reflecting on the genocide that took place under Soviet communism, Alexander Solzhenitsyn wrote, "Men have forgotten God. That's why all this happened." To enable CRI to equip Christians worldwide with vital ABC resources, simply call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org, equip.org. With the new atheists increasing their mockery of Christianity and militant secularism ridiculing religious convictions of all stripes, we clearly don't need zealous but misguided Christians inviting further abuse by misreading and misrepresenting biblical prophecies. Hank Hanegraaff's book, Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, will enable you to understand, remember, and communicate biblical prophecy. Moreover, your investment in Prophetic Stars through the Christian Research Institute will equip and encourage eager Christian brothers and sisters who genuinely yearn for truth and reliable tools to apprehend and defend their faith. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute and host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, is passionately focused on the ABCs. That's apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering cults, including world religions like Islam. Make no mistake, there is a rising tide of militant secularism and anti-Christian thinking. Christians worldwide need to be equipped with ABC resources. To stand shoulder to shoulder with Hank Hanegraaff and CRI in equipping Christians worldwide with vital ABC resources, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Deonce, listening in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, Bot Radio. Hi.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Well, I just want to thank you for you and your program, CRI. You guys do a wonderful job. I also want to thank you for your book, I Think You Rose, Incarnation.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, I read that. It was sort of a difficult read for me because I'm a little younger, but it was very impactful as far as my faith. But my question is that what is the significance of the Gnostic Gospels, and do they have a place, you know, within the Bible or within Christianity at all?
Well, they really don't. The word Gnostic has to do with wisdom or knowledge, but in the second century, even in the first century, there were Gnostics which taught that there was a special higher truth that only the enlightened can receive from God. They also maintained that matter is inherently evil. And this is a huge distinction from what the Christian Gospels teach. The Christian Gospels are not Platonic. They're very physical. So I've often said if we would have been in the tomb when Christ was raised from the dead, we would have seen dust fly off the very slab on which he lay. Christ rose physically. We too will rise physically. But the Gnostics considered matter or physicality inherently evil. And so they come from a completely different worldview than the worldview of the gospel writers. Not only so, but some of the things said in the Gnostic Gospels are utterly patriarchal. For example, you look at the Gospel of Thomas. Well, in the Gospel of Thomas, there's a conversation between Peter and Jesus, where Simon Peter says, "Make Mary leave." And he's talking to Jesus and going on to say that females don't deserve life. And then Jesus says, "Look, I'll guide her and make her a male so that she may too become a living spirit resembling males. For every female who makes herself male will enter the kingdom of heaven." That is in direct opposition, of course, to what you find in the Gospels, where there is no Jew or Greek, there's no slave or free, there's only one in Christ, Christ bringing females into his inner circle and treating them with complete ontological equality. And there are many other examples that could be given. The Gospel of Judas, it's only 13 papyrus pages, so it doesn't take long to read. But if you read them, those pages, you will end up in belly laughs because it is so silly and incoherent that you immediately see a difference between the majestic tapestry woven by the gospel writers and what you find in the Gnostic writers.
Yes, I definitely thought so. I heard of it, never heard of it before, and I read something, and I found it to be one of the most ridiculous things in my life that I ever heard, but interesting. But I do thank you for your answer. That was very helpful. So.
Well, I appreciate what you said as well. I mean, you have read these things for yourself, and I think that's what people really have to do. Because if you listen to pundits, like on the History Channel, I was listening to a pundit just this weekend, and if you listen to these pundits, they will absolutely slobber, as it were, over these Gnostic Gospels, and they loathe the Gospel of John, as though the Gospel of John... the Gospel of John is anti-Semitic and so forth. These are the kinds of things that they say. So it's important to read it for yourself. So good for you.
Yeah, most definitely. And you're such a help, Hank. And thank you for your ministry. And you guys have a blessed day and a blessed life. I appreciate you.
Appreciate you as well. And deeply appreciate the kind comments. Want to go back to the phone lines. Talk to Matthew, listening in St. Louis, Missouri on Bot Radio. Hi, Matthew.
Hey, Hank. I'm a new-time listener. I just discovered your show about a month ago.
Oh, wonderful.
But I really appreciate it, and it's really been insightful. I have a two-part question, pretty much related. But I was curious, when did Jesus realize he was the Christ? And at the same time, what between his birth and when he started ministering at 30... What was going on in between there? And I mean, I know that Mary and Joseph, obviously, they knew he was the Messiah. But I heard that his brothers might not have really believed him at certain points, and so I was just kind of curious how you felt about that.
Yeah, in fact, his family members were embarrassed by everything that Jesus Christ said, and that changed substantially when Jesus Christ appeared in his post-resurrection appearances. And when he did, there was an utter transformation that took place. For example, James, he was, again, embarrassed by his brother, but when he saw Christ risen from the dead, he became the leader of the Jerusalem church and calls himself a bondservant of Jesus Christ and ultimately is martyred for the notion that one of his family members is God. Only the resurrection of Jesus Christ, of course, can account for that. But in terms of his own self-awareness, remember, Jesus Christ was one person with two natures, 100% human, 100% divine. So while his divine nature voluntarily veiled the prerogatives of divinity, he was not divested of a single ounce of knowledge. He would know all things. From his human nature, however, we can only speculate when he had a self-awareness. But certainly it was long before the time that he was 30 years of age. In fact, Jesus at the temple is a great example that at age 12, he already had self-awareness as Messiah. So he was at the temple at the Feast of the Passover. He was 12 years old, and he went up to the feast according to the custom. And after the feast, his parents were returning home, but Jesus stayed in Jerusalem, and they were totally unaware of it. They thought he was in their company, and they began traveling, and they had traveled for a day. And when they began looking for him among their relatives and friends, they didn't find him. So they went back to Jerusalem, and after 3 days, they found him in the temple courts. Catch this. He's 12 years of age. He's in the temple courts. He's sitting among the teachers of the law, and he's listening to them, and then he's asking them questions. And everyone hearing him engage the teachers of the law were utterly perplexed and amazed. Why? Because he had a thorough understanding at age 12, and he had, as the Gospel of Luke points out, he had answers to questions that they didn't have answers to. So already he knew, because when his parents were looking for him, his response to his parents are, "Why were you looking for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house?" And they didn't understand what he was saying to them until later on.
Yeah, that's Is there anything else between 12 and 30 that he, you know, there's a record of?
Well, we don't have any record whatsoever, as I said, about when he came to a self-awareness from the perspective of this humanity of his own deity. We would have to speculate on that, and all such speculation is fruitless. But what I can tell you is there are glimpses that would tell us that even before age 12, he didn't suddenly at age 12 come to self-awareness, but certainly before age 12, he was self-aware, and exactly when that took place, we can't say.
Okay. Well, I appreciate the answer, and God bless you, Hank. I really like you. I love listening to you at night.
Thank you. Appreciate your call. Wonderful for you to call in today. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Rudy in Modesto, California, listening on KCIV. Hi, Rudy.
Hi, Hank. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. I had a question regarding claims that Christianity was just derived from other very similar religions, and just to the point of why are there, before and after the death of Jesus, why are there so many mythical gods or religious gods that have so many similarities as far as being born on the 25th, or being born from a virgin, or having disciples, doing miracles, even down to being crucified and having a resurrection? How can we claim that Christianity is not a copycat religion from all these other ones, like the Egyptian god Horus? There's so many similarities there. So what's your response to this? Like, how can we, as believers, pretty much take Christianity out of that conversation and say that, you know, it's not true?
Well, you can't drink the Kool-Aid. The alleged similarities, as well as the terminology that is used to communicate the similarities, are greatly exaggerated. So parallels between the resurrection of Osiris and the resurrection of Christ, commonly talked about, are an obvious stretch. And sadly for the mysteries, that's about as good as it gets. Other parallels that are typically cited by liberal scholars are even more far-fetched. And not only that, but liberals have the chronology all wrong, because most mysteries flourished long after the closing of the canon of Scripture. And therefore, I think it'd be far more accurate to say that the mysteries were influenced by Christianity than the other way around. But here's another point that I think we need to grapple with, and that is mystery religions are syncretistic. Adherents not only worshipped various pagan deities, but they frequently embraced aspects of competing mystery religions. Of course, they still would worship at their own cultic constructs, but they were syncretistic. But this isn't the way it was with Christianity. Converts to Christ singularly placed their faith in the one who said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." So far from Christianity to be syncretistic, it was very exclusive in terms of its claims. Christ is the only way. And of course, Christ can say that because he, unlike any other religious leader, demonstrated that he was God through the immutable fact of resurrection. So we say the Bible is the infallible repository of redemptive revelation, not through blind faith, but faith in evidence. We believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ because you can make a compelling case for it. And we believe, of course, that God created the universe because it's the only thing that makes sense. Nothing could not have created everything. Life could not have come from non-life. And the life that came from non-life could not have created morals and ethics. We'll be right back with more answers in just a moment.
In our day, biblical literacy has plummeted to dangerous levels, such that many Christians embrace wildly distorted notions of the Scriptures. From bizarre end-time predictions centering on four blood moons to health and wealth theologies, the Christian Research Institute is combating biblical illiteracy with resources accessible around the globe.
to help CRI's efforts in equipping Christians to become biblically literate, simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Don't go away. Hank Hanegraaff will be right back. Endless predictions about end-time events and published timetables counting down the end have proven to be wrong 100% of the time. When doomsday predictions fail, there is double-duty damage. Many theologically juvenile and scripturally superficial Christians abandon the faith as a result of these failed predictions, and the public image of Christianity is damaged, making Christians appear to be hopelessly naive and easily duped biblical bumpkins. Hank Hanegraaff's book, Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, will equip you not only to interpret biblical prophecy correctly, but to remember it as well. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute are passionately focused on the ABCs. That's apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering cults, including world religions such as Islam. Make no mistake, there is a rising tide of militant secularism and anti-Christian thinking. Christians worldwide need to be equipped with ABC resources, for if we lose the war on these fronts, our children and grandchildren could inherit the horrors of history that are the absolute antithesis of the meaning of this Christmas season. Reflecting on the genocide that took place under Soviet communism, Alexander Solzhenitsyn wrote, "Men have forgotten God. That's why all this happened." To enable CRI to equip Christians worldwide with vital ABC resources, simply call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org, equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for Apple as well as Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also listen to 3-minute Ask Hank features and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org and download the Equip app for your phone or handheld device today. Again, that's equip.org. The Equip app is compatible with iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android devices. Apologetics, the defense of the faith, is a handmaiden of evangelism and a vital partner of discipleship. With it, the Christian can engage and graciously disarm the generally naive and caricatured objections of skeptics. Without it, one will be unable to withstand the rising tide of militant secularism and anti-Christian thinking. To enable the Christian Research Institute to continue producing quality apologetics resources, accessible worldwide, simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Once again, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Clay listening in Longview, Texas. Hi, Clay.
Hey, Hank, can you hear me?
I sure can.
Okay, good. I wasn't concerned. I called the other day, about 2 days ago, and I had I presented a question to you whether you were considered yourself to be premillennial, amillennial, or postmillennial.
Yeah, I remember that. Question, yeah.
Okay, good. The question is regarding that. I should have asked you the second question, but ran out of time. Okay, I respect your view on that, and I really respect your careful reading of the literature of the Bible and and depicting metaphors and what is literal. And I guess this is going to be more of an opinionated question, and again, I respect your opinion of the millennium, but here's my question. You compared, in Revelation 20, you compared the 1,000 years to a the same as when it was written that he owns 1,000 cows on 1,000 hills. And I really agree with you on the 1,000 cows and 1,000 hills being metaphorical. It's basically to say he owns all the cows. So the only, and I could follow you and I could agree with you on Revelation 20 being the same type of metaphor, except for at the end of Revelation 20, it says at the end of this time, Satan will be released. To me, it seems like almost like a time marker, so to speak. Like it actually makes it literal. And so my question is this: how do you view the end of Revelation 20 and Satan being released at the end of 1,000 years? What does that mean to you? And because to me, it makes Revelation 20 a literal 1,000 years. And I really appreciate your answer. And I'm going to hang up and listen to you on the radio with your answer.
Okay, thank you so much for the question. You know, I've answered this in a lot of different ways, but I think what's important is to recognize what's going on in terms of the narrative in Revelation chapter 20. Now, clearly, Revelation chapter 20 is using figurative language because you have an angel coming down out of heaven at the start of Revelation 20, having the key to the abyss and holding in his hand a great chain. And then he seizes the dragon, the ancient serpent, who's the devil or Satan, and binds him for 1,000 years. Obviously, that has to be metaphorical language, because you cannot bind with a chain a non-corporeal being. Not only that, but he gets thrown into the abyss, and then the abyss is locked and sealed over him to keep him from deceiving the nations anymore until the 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be set free for a short time. So what you have going on is a narrative, and that narrative is very, very, it's important to understand what's going on. John wants people to comprehend the great tribulation within the larger scope of great vindication. And so in Revelation, John recapitulates the story of Christ's victory over Satan. The reality that he's bound for 1,000 years is a way of communicating that. Then he wants them to never forget that, like John the Baptist, they may be persecuted and killed, but ultimately what that means is that through the power of resurrection, they're going to rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. But not so the principles of Satan's kingdom. Those who had taken the mark of the beast, their physical death marks the beginning of their eternal judgment. They're spiritually dead and will not be physically revived until Jesus appears a second time at the general revelation of the dead. Bottom line, Satan is going to be bound for 1,000 years, and those who have not taken his mark will rule forever or rule for 1,000 years. Satan's defeat, in other words, is complete, just as their victory and vindication is complete. But I think what I've said consistently on this show is if you look at 1,000 years as a whole number in Scripture, you find that it's used over and over and over again. And what I mean by that is that you not only see the God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills metaphor, but you see the metaphor God increased the number of the Israelites 1,000 times, or God keeps his commandment to 1,000 generations. Better is a day in God's courts than 1,000 elsewhere, or, I mean, you probably think of others like the least of Zion will become 1,000 and the smallest a mighty nation. God shows loving kindness to 1,000 generations, and on it goes. So I think that the principle of 1,000 as a whole number being used metaphorical is very, very clear in Scripture. And now you come to an apocalyptic passage. You don't want to read this in a wooden literal fashion, but rather you want to read it in the sense in which it's communicated. You know, you hear in football, you know, he threw a rocket. You don't think that he actually threw a rocket, you know, that he threw the football at great velocity. Or a wide receiver goes up and he climbs a ladder. It doesn't mean he's climbing a ladder. It means that he went high to catch a pass that's probably thrown high, kind of like what Cam Newton does a lot of time. Look, he had some tall receivers. So, you know, this is metaphorical, and we have to take it in the sense in which it is intended. But I think the bigger issue here is we should note that though Jesus spoke repeatedly of the resurrection of the dead, he did not as much as hint at the notion of a thousand-year semi-golden age. And I think everybody has to ask themselves this question. Am I really going to die and come back to a cursed creation? Is Jesus really going to reign over a rebuilt temple, reinstituted temple sacrifices, when the book of Hebrews makes plain that the very notion of reinstituted temple sacrifices is the notion of the shadow not being replaced by the substance. And that is, as the writer of Hebrews puts it, like trampling upon the sacred blood of Jesus Christ. Are we really going to believe that at the end of the tribulation there's going to be, I mean, not the end of the tribulation, but the millennium, there's going to be, you know, the ultimate apostasy, the ultimate rebellion by Satan, Gog and Magog, to gather them from battle? So all of these things are questions that we have to ask ourselves, and the answer to that question doesn't come from me, but the answer comes from a close examination of the biblical text, bearing in mind that we should always read Scripture in light of Scripture. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Lynn. She's listening in Kansas City, Missouri, on Bot Radio. Hi, Lynn.
Hello?
Hi.
Oh, hi. Sorry, I was reading my daughter a book. So,
oh, that's wonderful.
Okay, thank you for taking my call. I really appreciate it. And I listen to you when I'm making supper at night, and like it's, I really look forward to making supper when I realize, oh, I'm going to listen to Hank. So thank you. And I always learn and I always grow and I'm always challenged to search the Scriptures. So thank
yes.
you.
Wonderful.
And hey, my question is, essentially my daughter's asking this question, does God love Satan? And, you know, I tell them, well, God is love. And and then they say, well, does God love Satan? Is there any part of him that loves Satan? And I'm like, well, Satan is the opposite of love and does not love God. So, you know, I don't know. I'm just like, he can't love Satan because Satan is so evil, you know? And they're like, they keep asking me the same question. So, yeah, my question for you is there a better answer or somewhere in the Scriptures that I can point them to help answer that question?
Well, honestly, Lynn, I think you did a great job in answering the question. I think there is a sense in which you can say yes and no to your children, and I think you're wise to have pointed out 1 John chapter 4 that God is love, that God created all things good, so that the fallen angel we call Satan was originally created good. So he was given the ability, the volition, to follow and love God or to rebel against God. And the reason he was given that opportunity is if Satan was created in a way that he could not choose, then love would be rendered meaningless. Love always requires volition. But, of course, Satan is now the evil one. He is the father of lies. He's a murderer from the beginning, as we see in John chapter 8. He's the accuser of the brethren, as we see in Revelation chapter 12. And Satan will one day be once and for all condemned. We were just talking earlier, the last question, about Revelation chapter 20. He's going to be thrown into the burning lake of sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet are thrown, and they'll be tormented day and night forever and ever. So God's eyes, we're told, are too pure to look on evil. He cannot tolerate wrong. The Bible tells us that God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that they should turn from their evil ways and live. What we know is that Satan had requisite knowledge. He was judged, and he will forever remain evil. We, however, as human beings, up until the time that we die, have the opportunity to embrace the light or reject the light, which is to say God dwells in enough light so that if we want to know him, we can, and he dwells in enough darkness so that if we do not want to find him, we won't. Going on, one thing that the Bible is very clear about, and this is part of the yes answer, does God love Satan? Well, no, he doesn't, but there's a yes answer as well. In Psalm 5:5, however, the answer is God hates all, including fallen angels, who do evil continuously. So there you have a very specific answer. Again, I think that's Psalm 5:5. God hates all who do evil. So insofar as God must judge and condemn wickedness, God does not love Satan. However, there is an other aspect to God's love that we should consider, and that's why I say yes and no. He doesn't love Satan, and there's the yes part, which God loves actively, not by being passive or attracted to good things in the way humans are. God loves by creating and bestowing good attributes such as intelligence and power and will, which Satan has. So God loves Satan and creatures in that sense. But since Satan is fallen, I think that the way that you answered originally, I think, is the most dominant way of answering the question. I think you can take your daughters and show them Psalm 5:5. I think that'll be helpful.
Yeah, that's a great answer. And a follow-up question about, like, Satan. And, I mean, there's no use in praying for Satan. You know, we pray for those who have hardened hearts and who are lost. Now, Satan is lost. He's like, you know, fallen. But all of us are fallen. But he is, like, the epitome of fallen.
Yeah, no, and there's no an indication in Scripture. I'm sorry to cut you off, Lynn. I'm not doing it to be rude. I'm just out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please forgive me, but and give my best to your daughters. But yeah, I mean, we know that Satan has made an eternal choice, and we know that because Scripture tells us that, and we know that Scripture is reliable in that we can demonstrate as divine as opposed to merely human in origin. Wish I could continue the conversation, but tomorrow we'll take more questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith, answer Bible questions, and encourage Christians to watch their life and doctrine closely. To find resources to help equip you, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call us at 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute are passionately focused on the ABCs. That's apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering cults, including world religions such as Islam. Make no mistake, there is a rising tide of militant secularism and anti-Christian thinking. Christians worldwide need to be equipped with ABC resources, for if we lose the war on these fronts, our children and grandchildren could inherit the horrors of history that are the absolute antithesis of the meaning of this Christmas season. Reflecting on the genocide that took place under Soviet communism, Alexander Solzhenitsyn wrote, "Men have forgotten God. That's why all this happened." To enable CRI to equip Christians worldwide with vital ABC resources, simply call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org, equip.org. With the new atheists increasing their mockery of Christianity and militant secularism ridiculing religious convictions of all stripes, we clearly don't need zealous but misguided Christians inviting further abuse by misreading and misrepresenting biblical prophecies. Hank Hanegraaff's book, Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, will enable you to understand, remember, and communicate biblical prophecy
Moreover, your investment in prophetic stars through the Christian Research Institute will equip and encourage eager Christian brothers and sisters who genuinely yearn for truth and reliable tools to apprehend and defend their faith. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org.